You know, sometimes, you know, I know we're supposed to remain in order in the church and everything, but, you know, sometimes it just feels like we're just sitting here sometimes. You know, sometimes we need to get a little more spirit, I think, a little more rejoicing. We have a lot to rejoice about this morning. We have a lot of reasons to smile this morning. So when I say good morning this morning, I'm telling you, it's a good morning. It's a good morning to be here. I'm happy to be here. Are you happy to be here this morning? I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be in a country where we can still come together and worship His name. You know, there's Christians right now, and they might not share the same doctrine we do, but I tell you what, they're praying and praising and trying to worship Jesus Christ this morning. They're under persecution. They're dying. They're beaten. Nobody drug us out of this church this morning. We're still able. We're still free here. You know, there's a lot to rejoice about. You know, there's prayers that's been answered. There's prayers that need to be offered. But I can rejoice in that we have a God that has answered prayers and a God that continues to answer prayers. You know what? I'm happy to come share some of the graces, some of the doctrines of Christ this morning. You know, we ought to be, of all people, more happy. You know, if you understand the doctrines of grace and mercy, election and predestination, and that it's all of Him and none of yourselves. We're not working our way to heaven this morning. We're just rejoicing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to put a smile on your face about this morning. You know, I've seen it sometimes. I've been guilty of this too. You know, sometimes I take the doctrines of grace, and I've been guilty of probably trying to hit people over the head with it. Sometimes I've probably stood behind this pulpit and seemed angry when I'm preaching the doctrines of grace. You know, I've been convicted this week that I need to change that. When I preach the doctrines of grace and mercy, I need to do it from a place of love and kindness. You know, just because I don't agree with another doctrine, you know, that doesn't mean I have to come stand behind here and beat it to death. It doesn't. There we go. We can still hear. But I just want to share a little bit this morning and rejoice in that. Hopefully I can do that from a place of kindness and a place of peace and hope and joy, that we can all rejoice in this together. And if these things that I say this morning, that it might draw people to the church of God and the truth instead of turn them away. I never want to do it in a way that would turn a child of God from hearing the truth just because of the way I present it. Some of the doctrines that I have on my mind this morning, I believe coincide with an article I read the other day about Matthew 13. And that's kind of where I want to go this morning and start from. In chapter 13, we find the parable of the sower. In verse 3, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. Some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then the Lord Jesus says, Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. He goes on to explain, his apostles asking, Lord, why do you speak in parables? He goes on, so therefore speak unto them in parables in verse 13, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. There's some folks here the Lord is preaching to in parables because it's not for them to understand the mysteries that he's bringing forth to them. But later he goes on to explain what this parable means to his apostles. So there's some folks here that can't hear what the Lord is saying. There's some folks here that lack hearing. They lack spiritual hearing. They lack spiritual sight. But here, thanks be to God, the Lord is talking to some folks that do have spiritual sight, do have spiritual ears, can hear the things of God, can understand the parables. And he goes on to explain it. He says in verse 16, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, brethren, I'm going to assume this morning that I'm talking to some blessed people. As long as I stand behind this pulpit, you know what?
That's what I'm going to assume. When I'm talking to God's people, I'm going to assume that I'm talking to people that understand and can hear. And that's the way I'm going to preach it. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter if some have crept in unawares. I'm going to preach the gospel the same, no matter what. But I'm going to assume that we are blessed here today, that I'm talking to some people that can see, that some people that can hear. Verse 17 says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come on here and explain the parable of the sower. You know, I think when we're looking at this parable that the Lord Savior Jesus Christ gives out, a lot of people get hung up on trying to figure out which one of these is a born-again child of God. I believe you miss the point if you stand on that principle trying to figure out who's born in this parable and who's not born again, the child of God. In verse 19 he says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." So in verse 19, already here we've established this is somebody that hears. Now is that natural hearing? Is it just somebody that's hearing it? Well, I believe if you don't continue on, you could assume that. But it says, "Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart." Now we got a heart issue. Something that has been sown in the heart. Somebody that has heard, something that was sown in his heart. But it says the wicked one has come and stole it away. You know, I don't want to get hung up on which one's being, whether this is a born-again child of God or not. But for me, I believe that all four of these instances are talking to a child of God, are talking to a state of how they respond to the Word. Some respond good, some respond bad, but that doesn't mean they're not born again. But if we get caught up in that, we're missing the point. He says in verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." You know, through all four of these instances in this parable of how the word falls, which is the seed, how it's scattered, it's given a warning and an exhortation of what robs us of the word. What gets in the way of abiding in the word? What gets in the way of hearing the word? What gets in the way of serving God? What gets in the way? Number one, in verse 19, understanding. It says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now it's saying here that he understood it not. "Then cometh the wicked one," but it was sown in his heart. So it was in his heart. But he didn't understand what he was necessarily hearing. He didn't understand every doctrine of grace. And then come the wicked one because he didn't understand and stole it away. Brother Joe, what are you meaning by all that? Let me give you an example. And I've given it before. Have you ever heard this when you try to talk to people about the doctrines of grace? "Oh, Brother Joe, that sounds wonderful. But that can't be it. That can't be enough. You're telling me about a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that came and saved me from my sins. Someone wicked and wretched as me. And there's nothing on my part that I have to do. That can't be right. There's got to be something I can do, something I can repay. Oh, the doctrine of grace sounds wonderful. Oh, I want to believe it in my heart." I say, "Oh, devil, he's on the scene. He'll use guilt. He'll use pride. And he'll rob you of that which was sown in your heart. And then you fall by the wayside. And you don't follow and stay in that word of grace." Verse 20. He says, "But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Here's another thing that gets in the way of us following, abiding in the word, staying in the word, abiding in the word. It's this tribulation, persecution, these old things out in this old world that spring up and rob us of the joy. You know, I preached a few Sundays ago about, you know, sometimes a child of God sees injustice in the world and sees those wicked ones prospering. It makes them question whether they've served the Lord in vain. That's that old cares in the old world getting up and robbing you of the joy of your salvation. You know, old brother David didn't ever say, restore unto me my salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I tell you what, when we let the cares of this old world get up, and they're contrary to what God has told us, but we let that rob us of the joy we have of our salvation, well, that's getting in the way of abiding in the Word. He says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, I know a dear brother that I grew up with, and he was good to the church. I mean, monetarily, he was good to the church. The Lord had blessed him. You know, I remember one time we were together, and his mama had been getting on him because he had been missing church because of the business he had, because of the work he had. And he told me, you know, mama gets on me all the time about missing church. But he said, you know, Brother Joe, he's like, I got this business. I gotta take care of it. There's people depending on me. See, he left the things of this old world, the deceitfulness of riches. See, he thought he couldn't serve God and do what he needed to do in his business. I tell you what, child of God, if that's the case, then our priorities are messed up. Our priority should always be God first. God first. Put God first. I believe he'll bless us. He'll provide for us. Let's not put any dependence or trust in the things of this whole world. That's robbing you of a joy that you have. I tell you what, child of God, you need to stop. Well, I say more than once a week, but at least on Sunday, we need to come together and remember these things, lest we forget and be robbed of the joy of our salvation. Then verse 23, it says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Sometimes there's brethren that are strong in faith. The word falls and they just seem like they stay standing fast. Thank God for children of God like that. But you know, not every child of God is like that. You know, if every child of God that has stepped foot in this church would be just like this child of God, I tell you what, the building couldn't hold us. I see a lot of empty spots to folks I love that I know are children of God that have let the cares of this old world, have let the deceitfulness of riches, let the understanding that they didn't have get in the way of them coming forth and being a part of this church. I tell you what, those things rob us of the joy of our salvation. Now, here's the danger I see in taking this verse and trying to find which one is the child of God, which one is born child of God. Now, the only one that is a born-again child of God is this one that has stayed in the Word, stayed in His fruitfulness, brought forth fruit, had to understand. The only one that here is a child of God is that received the seed and abided in it and stayed in it. If he is the only one that's a child of God, I tell you what, that don't leave much hope for folks like me. You know, I feel rich and I feel unworthy a lot of the time. I know a lot of us do. Most of us do. But if the only ones that are considered the child of God that have received that seed, those that persevere in the Word. See, that's what I'm getting at. See, if you take this and try to figure out who's the child of God again, and the only person that's born again child of God is this fourth seed, then I tell you what, you can assume that the other three, it says the other three received the Word, but it let the cares of this world rob them of the joy of their salvation. Well, then you can make the assumption that the only one that is a child of God is the one that persevered. The only one that stayed in the Word. And these other three, even though they received the Word, they were never really a child of God. That's not a doctrine that we teach in the Primitive Baptist Church. We do teach one doctrine, though. We teach a doctrine called preservation. If you go back there to Articles of Faith, and you look at number 8, it says we believe that the child of God is preserved in grace and will never finally fall away. Now, brother, does that mean it finally fall away, that you'll never fall away out of gospel obedience? No, brother, that means that you will never fall out of the grace that you've been preserved in. Brother Joe, Can you prove that to us this morning? And I want to give y'all some simple thoughts. And hopefully I can explain this to your understanding that the devil won't come and rob you of. If we turn to Jude, and it's a short book. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, in verse 1, and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. How are we called? We go to 2 Timothy 1 and 9. And you find that you've been called and saved with a holy calling. Not according to your works, but according to His own purpose and grace that we have in Christ Jesus. See, it's by grace, not by works. And we're preserved in Jesus Christ. And if we're ever going to persevere to heaven and immortal glory, it won't be because of our gospel obedience, but it's because you've been preserved in grace in Jesus Christ. And it's according to His works and not our own, but by His grace and His purpose. Now, I want to leave y'all with this little analogy here. You know, I always go to food. That's my go-to. You know, strawberries are some of my favorite berries. I love them. But you know, strawberries are some of the most temperamental berries there are. They'll be good one day, and they'll be bad the next. You know, I'll come to a pint of strawberries, and I'll open it up. And you know, some will be fine, some will be good. And some will start to go bad. Some will have some bruises. Some will have some spots on it. Now, to say that the ones that have bruises and spots on them were never really strawberries, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? And that the good strawberries, the ones that stayed good, those are the real strawberries. Those are the good ones. If I told you that the ones that were bruised were never strawberries because they're bruised, you would say, Brother Joe, you're crazy. These strawberries didn't persevere, so they weren't ever really strawberries. Well, that don't make sense, does it? No, that don't make good sense. Let's go to verse 24 and 25 now in Jude. It says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. I tell you what, whether you a good strawberry or whether you a bruised strawberry, the only way we're ever going to be presented faultless and blameless before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is somebody came along and preserved us in a state of grace and presented us before Him. And you know what? Let me tell you something else about them strawberries. You know, a good chef never wastes. He never wastes. You know, if I come to a pint of strawberries and I see some bruised and some mangled, but they're not all bad. You know, I can just cut some of those things off, and I can mix them with the good strawberries. And I tell you what, I can make you some good strawberry preserves, and they're still good on a biscuit, and they're preserved, and they'll last a lot long time. I tell you what, after my grandma died, we ate on her preserves and her strawberry preserves for years after that. I tell you what, you got a good chef in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows how to cut those bad spots out. He knows preserve those no matter what state of grace you're in, no matter what state of faith you're in, no matter what state of strength you're in. If any of us are ever going home to heaven and immortal glory, it's because we had a good chef that cut out the bad and put the good back in us. And He preserved us in a state of grace. He holds us in a state of grace. And what God does lasts for eternity. So indeed this morning, I say we rejoice. We have more to smile about, child of God, because you've been preserved in grace. And nothing can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Nothing can make you go bad. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Heaven's going to be your home one day. You've been preserved. You're good to the end. Preserved to the end. He's going to bring us to an expected end. I tell you what, that's something to have a smile on your face about this morning. That's something that will alleviate the cares and the worries of this old world. I tell you what, when you go out and see injustice and you see all the troubles in this life, I tell you what, you can still rejoice and smile because one day it's going to be over. And everything that's ever been needed to be done for me to be in heaven in immortal glory has been preserved. I've been preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for His preserving grace. I thank you for your good order, attention.